going on to leaf three. And what struck me was we had crops that looked pretty much similar, even though they looked the same when you put them side by side. Leaf three was nowhere near emerged on the Oak Park crops here, whereas they were probably 50-60% emerged on the Athai ones. So those Athai crops would probably need to be sprayed next week, whereas the field here in Oak Park would probably need to be sprayed the last week probably of April, maybe the first week of May.
The promise of better weather over the next couple of weeks is boosting everybody's mood and optimism. However, there is a substantial amount of work to be done with spring crops and also critical management actions for winter crops. You're listening to the latest episode of The Tillage Edge with me, Michael Hennessy. We would really appreciate it if you could listen, follow, and give us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. So today, I'm delighted to be joined by Chagas crop specialist Shay Phelan and Kieran Collins to chat through the critical tasks which need to be completed on winter crops over the coming week or two. Kieran, despite the huge workload facing farmers to plant spring crops, there are cases where farmers have struggled to get in or maybe even manage their winter crops to date. How widespread do you think that's been across the country?
Certainly, Michael, this spell of fine weather is obviously hugely welcome and is badly, badly needed. And as you said, the spring crops are getting underway, but there is a fair backlog of work on winter crops and winter cereals in particular. And I suppose, you know, every yard that you go into at the moment, you can pick out the tractor that's been on the fertilizer spreader or the sprayer because it's covered in muck. And that's just the state of tramlines, you know. And I think a lot of growers have struggled to get into fields, particularly, you know, the further up the country you go. But it's probably everywhere because, you know, so there are certainly backlogs, both in terms of fertilizer and then even in terms of disease control and even weed control that remains to be done in a good share of crops as well, you know.
And just within that, Kieran, we've been hearing about, you know, farmers who have got stuck in fields with sprayers out the back and having to be pulled out of it and that kind of stuff. And you can imagine that kind of soil wouldn't exactly be conducive to growing good crops. Is there, you know, are those areas to be avoided anyway going through? Or do you think that some of those may well, you know, dry out enough that it's still going to give a reasonable yield to some of those crops?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think soils are drying rapidly. That is the only thing there. We've seen that in the last few days, you know. So, look, messy tramlines or deep tramlines, unfortunately, that's something we're going to have to live with for this season. But no, certainly I think soils are drying out and you can see, especially the top of the ground, they are drying in the last few days. And even, you know, you'd notice fields that farmers haven't been able to get into there, you know, some even since they were sown, that they are travelable now, like, you know, getting better.
So maybe, Kieran, turn into, you know, each of the kind of the major crops that's out there, maybe winter barley first. What are the critical management tasks that growers should be concerned about in the coming week or two?
Yeah, so in terms of growth stage, there's a range like there always is. Maybe crops are from growth stage maybe 31 to some of the later ones, and then you have some of the early ones are at flag leaf emergence. So that, look, I suppose that range is nothing new. I suppose actually, funnily enough, the way the year came, the sowing was probably fairly condensed because if it wasn't sown there by the middle of October, there was very little opportunity after. So I would say on average, they're probably around 32, 33 would be sort of the average of where they are. In terms of management tasks, like we've just been talking about, there's a range out there. More so where people haven't been able to get in. You know, I think fertilizer is by and large up to date from what I can see. Now, again, if the final split isn't on, you know, at growth stage 31, 32, 33, you would need to be getting in. So that would definitely be a priority. I think the bit that's not up to date is certainly there's in terms of weeds, PGRs, disease. I think they are the ones really where farmers haven't been able to get in with sprayers. I think by and large, what I'm seeing anyway, an autumn herbicide generally got out. Our weeds have been controlled by now. However, I've definitely taken a few calls in the last few days where there's an odd case where there's nothing done, or the tidy up hasn't been done. So you might see ground sill maybe or volunteer rape coming through. So that's number one. PGRs, definitely, and disease, there is a backlog there. There are plenty of crops out there that have no disease control done yet. or plant growth regulators. So to take them one at a time, I suppose, look, weeds, if you do have, say, volunteers, say oilseed rape or ground, so just the two I mentioned, try and get a sulfonylurea in there to deal with that. In terms of PGR, it's a little bit more complicated, and we'll talk about tank mixes maybe in a minute. You know, some crops are beyond that sort of maybe Modus Cycacil. You know, you might be getting into Medics Max territory, or probably for some people it could be Terpel application. So like Terpel will work well from say 33 to flag leaf. It will do a really good job, but I think it's vital to assess the need for it, you know, how thick is the crop and the standing ability of the variety, you know.
Are you saying not every crop necessarily is going to deserve it, or
I think so. It has to be an assessment anyway for a start. Like, it's just not mandatory that every crop should get a PGR. And then the rate, I think, is important. Maybe sometimes, you know, some crops might need a lower rate than maybe the farmer would be used to. But again, it depends on total nitrogen, and certainly depends on the plant stand as well, you know. Then on disease, I think there's a lot of crops I'm seeing have no disease, called no fungicide out yet, which is late. Now, despite the weather almost, I think generally you'll find disease. There's no problem finding disease, but not as bad maybe as you might expect, you know. But still, you know, we can't rest on our laurels on that one. We know that, you know, especially susceptible varieties, say the likes of Cassia, you know, you're going to get wrinkle coming into those. So I think that's a priority. So, you know, look, there's I suppose the follow-up question then has to be, you know, I'm sowing
tank mixes.
I'm sowing spring cereals. You know, Kieran is going to say now you're going to have to make two different separate passes of that and leave a period of time between them. So I think it's really prioritizing what needs to be done, what can wait for a second pass, you know. So look, I think the likes of wild oats coverage gets very, very poor at this stage. You need to kind of prioritize that. Weed control, if there's tidy up that has to be done, you know, you kind of prioritize that one. Then maybe with disease, you might have a second bite at PGR with Terpel. So all of those things won't go in one tank. You may have to make two of it, I suppose, really. That's the message.
Okay, consult your and chat to your local advisor, I suppose, would be the way to go on that, I suppose.
Yeah, just to be careful with tank mixes, really, because, you know, you can have a nice crop, you can do a lot of damage, and you don't want to set it back. Like,
Shay, can I bring you in there and maybe talk about winter wheat? I presume there might be similar types of issues in winter wheat as Kieran described on winter barley. You know, is there a number of critical tasks that are needed in the coming week or 10 days?
Pretty similar, Michael. I suppose the one thing that probably is slightly different in terms of the winter wheat versus winter barley is that the planting or drilling season was much longer. So we had wheat being drilled from October all the way through to probably an odd one in February. So there's a huge range of growth stages out there. But I suppose if we take the predominant ones here that you're probably talking, those October, November drill crops, those are ranging from probably growth stage 30 to growth stage, strong growth stage 31. And I suppose, again, like here on there, you're looking at what's done, what's not done. To be fair, I'd say to most people who have wheat in, they have been able to get out on crops and spray them in the last couple of weeks, although fields mightn't be looking great after them because tram lines have been pretty wet, but nonetheless, they've gone out and done it. I would say, again, unlike winter barley, few, if any, got pre-emergence done. So probably in the last fortnight, I'd say priority was probably given to a lot of these crops to get on the likes of Pacifica to make sure that those grass weeds were controlled. So in a lot of those crops, they would have got a Pacifica type product in the last, Pacifica, maybe Broadway Star, in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And in a few cases, I've seen people mixing in something like Zypar to try and control the likes of, as Kieran was saying, Groundsel as well. So they're probably okay for the most part in terms of weed control. Looking at crops this week, then I suppose one thing that is starting to become evident is that these crops are starting to get a little bit leggy. So most people are now looking at a growth regulator on it. So they're putting out that kind of Modus Cycacil mix, a litre of Cycacil and 0.2 of Modus. That seems to be pretty common around the place at the moment. So they are getting that out. And I suppose the third urgent task that people are at on wheat at the moment is that main split of nitrogen. Was in a couple of crops there before the weekend last week, which hadn't got their main split of nitrogen. Those crops are starting to look a little bit hungry now. So over the last couple of days, I'm seeing a lot of fertilizer spreaders on the road. Again, as Kieran was saying, they're fairly dirty looking, so you know they've been in fields. So they are getting out that main split of nitrogen, that kind of 50 to 60% of the total nitrogen requirement onto winter wheat crops there in the last couple of days.
So so lads are trying to bring the winter wheat then up to what, about 140 kilos?
Yeah, something
kilos
probably,
in
maybe
even
a bit stronger, maybe 140, 150 kilos, something like that, to try and drive those crops on, because some of them, you know, some of them will justify it more than one, because some of them are actually quite thin with all the issues that they had before Christmas.
And what about the first disease control, Shay? Is that coming up along for some of the areas?
Yeah, just coming to that, Michael, and it's something I think that's going to be critical this year. And it's a point I was going to make in terms of that. It's never going to be as important this year to try and identify that leaf 3 application. Okay, looking at a good few crops at the moment, there's leaf 4s out on most of them at the moment. They're probably 100% out, but leaf 3s are only coming. And I suppose that disease control kind of question starts now. Do you go with a fungicide on leaf 4? And to my mind, and looking at the trials here and some of the results we would have seen here from Oak Park, albeit I know there was some trials found down in Cork where it did respond to it, we've seen year on year out that a leaf 4 application, while it might reduce the amount of septoria on leaf 3, we're struggling to see it giving yield. So to my mind, you know, it's only really on those really exceptionally early planted crops that will justify a leaf 4 application. But nonetheless, going on to leaf 3, looking at dissecting crops here, I was at it here yesterday with a group of students here yesterday, and what struck me was we had crops that looked pretty much similar, one sample from a Thai and another sample here from Oak Park. And what transpired when we dissected those plants is that even though they look the same when you put them side by side, leaf 4 or leaf 3 was nowhere near emerged on the Oak Park crops here, whereas they were probably 50, 60% emerged on the Athai ones. So those Athai crops will probably need to be sprayed next week, whereas the field here in Oak Park will probably need to be sprayed the last week probably of April, maybe the first week of May.
And interesting in that, Jay, was there a difference in sowing date between the two of those crops?
Probably about a fortnight, I'd say, Michael. Okay. Or maybe not even that. I'm not entirely sure, but certain it's all Graham. So probably, yeah, maybe a week or a fortnight of a difference. But that has come all the way through. So I think what it underlines to me, even though you might walk into a crop which looks similar height to a previous crop, the growth stage may not be the same.
Okay. So what I'm getting from you, Shay, is that to top up on the nitrogen, bring that up to 150 kilos. If the weeds aren't sorted out, probably are in most cases, but PGR is probably the other one that probably needs to be sorted out. And then, you know, assess your leaf 3, some of the earlier sown ones, the chances are it'll be early next week by the time the first main fungicide goes on. And it'll be thereafter then, depending on the growth or the sowing time of the other crops thereafter.
Yeah, and one point just on that, Michael, in terms of people aren't sure about whether leaf 3 is fully emerged when they're spraying it or not, a useful trick that I get people to do, either farmers or agronomists to do, is to get a bit of white paint, marker paint, and spray it on the crop the day you're spraying it. So when you come back to flag leaf, you know, or get an approaching flag leaf application, you know how well the crop has been covered at the first application. So it's a useful tool, an IPM tool for people later on season.
Is there something similar, Shay, in terms of winter oats? Probably a lot of the similar type of management decisions necessary there as well.
Pretty much looking at crops at the moment, winter oats look particularly leggy at the moment. But again, they're probably not all out growth stage 32 just yet. They're not far off it, but they're not there just yet. Yeah, you're looking at exactly the same. The fertilizer, the main split of fertilizer needs to go on it now. Bring that up to whatever you're likely to be. In most cases, it's going to be somewhere around 120, 130 kilos of nitrogen, something like that per hectare. Finish that off now and bring it up to that in total. And I suppose then you're coming back in to look at your PGR applications. A limited number would have got a bit of PGR maybe about 14, 3 weeks ago, but the main split of PGR is probably going on now. Again, you're looking at your Modus, Medix, Max type mix, which are Cycocel involved. And I suppose trial work from Oak Park would show that 32, 30, three timing, if you like, is probably where you're going to get the most benefit from your PGR and oats. So it's critical that...
And are guys going to be putting in a disease control at that stage as well?
Yeah, good question, Michael. Looking at the crops that I'm seeing around here at the moment, there's a bit of disease in it, but not a huge amount. Saw a small bit of mildew the other day, saw a little bit of crown rust the other day. So again, you would be putting in a fungicide with that to try and control that as well. So something like a DKI Comet mix or something like that.
Kieran, just going back to you for a second, oilseed rape is flowering at the moment, probably towards mid-flowering type scenario. Is there any actions necessary in those crops now? I suppose I was thinking about maybe disease control. Is it too late for light leaf spot? Is it all about maybe sclerotinia now, if that's necessary?
It really is, I suppose. In fairness, sclerotinia will be the number one target anyway. Now, having said that, again, a feature of the year, like we've discussed with previous crops, I think a lot of winter oilseed rape crops didn't get any disease control this spring. Some did and some didn't, you know. It's definitely been a mixed bag even in the autumn there. People struggle to get out and that. So I suppose that certainly puts a little bit of pressure on in terms of disease control. But the main target really at the start of petal fall. So again, like you say, I think crops kind of are from getting towards mid-flowering. I think there's some at mid-flowering, but a lot of them getting there, I'd say. So once you start to see, you know, petal fall, I think that's really your target time for your sclerotinia spray. So the main product really that we've been using the last few years has been a product called Phylon. So that contains Boscalid. Now that's not available on the market this year. So there's Shepherd there from BSF would be an example of a product there. So that contains the Boscalid and Paroxystrobin that you'd get in Comet. So looking for those physiological benefits there as well. So I think at the start of petal fall, really, that's when you'd make the assessment in terms of sclerotinia and the requirement, you know.
And then I suppose, Kieran, just to ask, is it really necessary in all cases? You know, if a grower is oilseed rape for in a field that hasn't seen oilseed rape in a long time, is it necessary then?
There's two risk assessments, I suppose, really, that you'd carry out. One, as you said there, is the frequency of oilseed rape or oilseed rape in surrounding fields. You know, if it's an isolated field, hasn't seen oilseed rape in a while, the risk is certainly low. The other one then, I suppose the crucial one, is the weather at petal fall. You know, if the weather is really dry, those petals will fall to the ground and not cause a problem. I suppose the issue is when they start to stick to the plant, you know, and obviously that's where we're going to get the sclerotinia from. So I think they're the two kind of key risk assessments that you kind of have to carry out.
Okay, and just looking at I suppose, not just oilseed rape, but other winter crops out there, Kieran. There's patches in pretty much every field. There's very few fields you see are kind of good from ditch to ditch. What's the advice as regards all of the, I suppose, the money that's going to be spent on crops to try and get them to yield between now and harvest? Do farmers try their best to avoid them, or do they, you know, continue on regardless? Or what's the best advice there?
Yeah, I know you'd love to be able to vary rate sort of disease control in one sense. And like you say, there's very few winter cereals or winter crops in general that have ditch to ditch, you know. So I think the advice there is, you know, if you're passing through the sprayer and there's a part of a headland that there's very, very little crop in, I think just switch off the boom. Or maybe if a two spray program, maybe spray it the first time, not the second time, just to kind of weigh it up that way. I've spoken to growers who are doing that already, you know. Look, for weed control, you're generally going to spray all the field, obviously, but you know, in terms of disease control, you know, just switching off where the crop is very poor, where it might justify it. Like, I think that's all you can do, really, I think, in that sense.
Sure. Shay, just going back to you, and finally, you know, there's a huge amount of spring crops to be planted in the next, or in the coming week, if you like. Is there any general rules of advice, given that we're a little bit late now in around maybe seeding rates and fertilizers, that people should be taking into consideration?
Yeah, I think, Michael, there are a few things that people just need to bear in mind when they're sowing at this time of year. And you're right, it does come come, there's probably two headings that it falls on. Number one is seeding rate, and number two is nitrogen and how much nitrogen they need. If we start off with seeding rate first, I suppose, look, we are in a shorter season now. So these crops that are planted this week or next week will probably take 7, maybe 10 days to get above the ground. So you're talking, they're going to be, you know, maybe starting to emerge there or fully emerge by the 1st of May. So really and truly, they don't have a whole lot of time to tiller. So for that point of view, you probably need to increase your seeding rate to something like, you know, 325 seeds per square meter when you're planting it. So that in a spring barley type scenario, that's looking at somewhere in the region of about 180 to 190 depending on kilos per hectare, depending on the 1,000 grain weight. So you're looking at an old money, something around 12 stone an acre, maybe a little bit more than that. So that's the first thing I suppose to bear in mind, that these crops need to have more plants in the ground because they won't reach their targets in terms of tiller numbers and head numbers come harvest time. In terms of fertilizer, obviously, they're going to be putting all the compound in the seed bed at this stage. And the question, I suppose, a lot of people have been asking in the last couple of weeks is whether or not you put all the nitrogen in the seed bed as well. And I suppose there's two elements to that. I suppose if you're looking at a malting contract or something like that, where you need low proteins, by all means, I think you should be putting your nitrogen in the seed bed as well. Or whether you're growing a feed crop, and in that case, then maybe you can put most of it in, but keep a little back for later on. In terms of the overall amounts of nitrogen that you want to be looking at, a 6.5 ton crop of barley needs about 135 kilos of nitrogen on an index one soil. So if you think that there's yield potential above 6.5 tons, you know, you can add on another 20 kilos a hectare after that. So I suppose they're probably the best guidelines we can give people in terms of, you know, how much nitrogen you can apply and when you apply it.
Okay, so basically, I suppose that the overall zone, or when crops coming up in May, there's probably the yield capacity is probably not wonderful given, unless we get an absolutely perfect year. So just be careful on the overall nitrogen, I suppose. Really,
exactly. Okay, exactly, Michael. Yeah.
Shay and Kieran, listen, we're kind of run out of time. Thanks again for your expert opinion on all that. I think there's lots of really good tips there for everybody. So listen, we'll catch up with you again shortly.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah,
thanks, Michael.
So that's it for this week, and my thanks to Shay and Kieran for joining me on the podcast. Don't forget, during this difficult time, the Chagas Tillage Helpline is still open. The helpline number is 059-91-83533 if you want to give us a call, and we'll try our best to help you out. So finally, if you enjoyed the podcast, then recommend it to a friend or a colleague. And as always, rate, review and follow on Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. And for more information, go to chagas.ie. I'm Michael Hennessy. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with more tillage news and advice.